Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the show, if you want to listen ad-free, go to gzmshows.com/subscribers. That's gzmshows.com/subscribers.
Hi, and welcome to the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian. My name is Jonathan Messenger.
And my name is Bebop Robomoga.
How long is this going to go for?
Wannatron.
That's quite an introduction, Bebop.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Now, Bebop, we have some stuff to talk about here. I went back and listened to last week's episode, and it kind of sounded like you might have changed some things.
Maybe.
You know, Bebop, you're not
listener
really...
mail. Good idea, Jonathan. It's time to answer some listener questions. The first one is from JD, who is 7 years old from Pennsylvania. And his question is, have you ever downloaded a book like Foggy and the other Marlowe robots?
Oh, that's a good question. Have you, Bebop?
No, but I have eaten many of the art books that Jonathan keeps on his shelves.
What?
Yeah, you know, I eat art, so art books are like an all-you-can-eat buffet. Go ahead. Go take a look, Jonathan.
Oh, come on.
Okay, now that he's out of the room, I can answer this next question from Amelia, who's 13, and ask me, have you ever transformed yourself into a human? That is a great question, Amelia, and I think you're asking because, like me, you think I would make an awesome human. Thank you so much. The truth is that I have momentarily transformed into a human. And that's why I had to send Jonathan out of the room, because that's a spoiler for the next season of Bebop Tales. Bebop Tales. Bebop becomes a human.
Bebop?
Yeah.
Were you just singing?
No.
Did you send me out of the room so you could try to turn this episode into an episode of Bebop Tales?
Yeah. Yeah, you got me, Jonathan.
I knew it. Okay, let's get this show started, shall we? If you remember what happened last week, the explorers of Troop 301 had caught a beacon from the Marlowe and set a course to take it back. But what is happening on the Marlowe while they're doing that? We'll find out in this week's episode of the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, Search Party. Voltronix was lying on the metal table that Finn had first found him on many months ago, before Voltronix had been unveiled as the first robot on the Marlowe who hadn't been given a book. Voltronix had returned to this table many times in the months since, having been injured repeatedly while out on his adventures. But each time, there had been Marlowe engineers there to calm him down, to perfect whatever repair he was facing. This time, though, it was Lancebot, who had never fixed a robot in his whole mechanical life.
Okay, hold still,
said Lancebot.
Methinks the arm goes in this way.
Voltronix sat up straight.
You think? You shouldn't be thinking. You should be knowing. You should know which way my arm goes.
That's what I meant,
said Lancelot.
I know. I think I know this is how to put your arm back on your body.
Wait a second. What's that?
Voltronix pointed to the hand at the end of the arm Lancelot was holding.
That's your thumb.
And why is it on the other side of my hand?
Is it?
Lancelot held the arm up to the light and would have squinted if a robot could squint.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I was comparing it to my hand, but I guess I was holding the wrong hand up to it, and I put the thumb on the other side. Actually, all of these fingers are reversed. Good thing you caught that. Easy enough. 1 second.
Why were you even taking off my fingers?
Well, you were gone so long, I got bored. And I thought it was a learning opportunity. There. Here we go. See? No problem.
The thumb is backwards. It bends out.
Oh, right. There we go. Quick twist, and we're good as new. Okay, Cloco. If you could hold Voltronix's other hand for comfort and support, then I will jam his arm back onto his body.
RoboCloco, the dogbot, had been sitting quietly in the corner, not looking, too nervous to even cast a glance at what Lancelot was doing.
Wait, jam my arm back in?
Said Voltronix.
Jam? Isn't there a more medical term than jam?
Okay, if you prefer, I could say that I will slam the arm back onto your body. Is that better? Slam? Don't worry, Voltronix, old boy. Trust me, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it will hurt you. 1, 2, slam.
Yeah, Oreos, ouch.
Okay, it appears I was wrong. It looks like it definitely hurt you more than it hurt me.
Voltronix stood up and swung his arm around in a circle.
It's okay. I can take it. And look, I can swing it all the way around. Good as new, Lancelot. Good work.
Genevieve Brooks appeared in the robot room, coming in from the secret central room that she had discovered. What was that noise? Said Genevieve. It sounded like a cow at the dentist.
Close enough,
said RoboCloco.
What's the status, boss? What do we do now?
Now we move quickly, said Genevieve. They could have heard Voltronix back on Earth. Never mind the captain's bridge. Bunce is going to want to know who made that sound and why. Come on, quick. The three robots and Genevieve dashed into the room behind the room, and then crawled into the room behind the room behind the room. There, waiting for them, was Olivia, back in her human form again.
Which one are you again?
Said Voltronix.
A or O?
I'm the one who's going to save this tin can, said Olivia. Sorry, I just thought it would sound cool if I said that. I am Olivia. Come on, let's hurry. Olivia opened a door on the other side of the room, and they all crawled into the hallway down near the explorer pods.
Wait, Genevieve, you said we were going to take down Bunce, not escape,
said Cloco.
I'm not getting on one of those pods, and you can't make me.
Genevieve didn't even look in Cloco's direction. She was too busy at the control panel, tapping on a keyboard. That's good, Cloco, because we're not escaping, she said. And I'm going to need you if we're going to take down Bunce together. Olivia smiled at Cloco. We have big plans for you, little dog friend.
Okay,
said Cloco.
But don't call me little dog friend. It's weird.
All right, stop fooling around, said Genevieve. They're ready. Now, Voltronix, I need you to stand right here, okay? Genevieve put her hands on the robot's broad shoulders and walked him next to the control panel where she was working. Okay, stand like this. Yes, perfect. Now, do not move. And when Bunce radios down here, and he's going to radio down here, everyone stay quiet and stay behind Voltronix. And Voltronix, you just play dumb.
What does play dumb mean?
Exactly, said Genevieve. Okay, here we go. Genevieve pushed a large button on the side of the panel, and one of the explorer pods rocketed away from the Marlowe. She tapped a few more keys, pushed the same button, and the next pod flew away. She programmed the final two to fly off away from the space station before Bunce finally caught on to what was happening and came over the loudspeaker.
What is going on down there? Robot, you big hunk of metal, are you sending those explorer pods away?
Genevieve and the others huddled behind Voltronix. The camera mounted on the ceiling only showed the large robot standing there alone.
No,
he said.
I mean, yes. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's it.
Wow, he's good at playing dumb,
said Cloco.
Okay, let's try this. Why did you send away those explorer pods?
I don't know,
said Voltronix. Bunce was already losing his patience. They could hear him grumbling over the loudspeaker. Genevieve and Cloco had to stop themselves from laughing.
Okay, just tell me this, Metalhead. Was there anything on those explorer pods that you don't know if you sent off from the Marlowe?
Don't call me Metalhead,
said Voltronix.
Okay, fine, Bucket Brain. Was there anything on those pods?
Oh, I don't know what Bucket Brain means, but I definitely don't like it.
Voltronix, don't let him rattle you,
said Cloco.
Just say you don't know.
Okay, well, if you don't like Metalhead, when you don't like Bucket Brain, how about this, Rust Nugget?
Said Bunce.
What would you like to be called?
Voltronix lifted the arm that Lancebot had just put on his body and pointed directly at the camera.
My name is Voltronix Zoo. I am the most powerful robot in the universe, and I am coming for you, Bunce. This is my space station.
Is your finger on backwards? Because that looks really weird.
Voltronix looked down and saw that the finger he was pointing at the camera was facing the wrong way.
Sorry,
whispered Lancebot. Voltronix twisted the finger into the right position and pointed it at the camera again.
As I was saying, we're coming for you, all of us, and you can't stop us.
Voltronix stepped aside, revealing Genevieve, Olivia, and the two robots huddled behind him. Bunce laughed.
For a second there, I got worried when you said, all of us. All of us, he says. Usually when you say, all of us, you mean a lot of people and robots. You have what, two kids and two old robots and one of them's a dog? That's not all of us, that's like a couple of us.
Genevieve stood up and faced the camera. Well, you're too late, Bunce. I've sent those pods with distress beacons all across the galaxy. One of them is going to the planet where we know our families and friends are, and the others are going to friendly planets where we know they'll want to help us. The jig is up, Bunce. You might as well give up now.
Aw, that's so sweet,
said Bunce.
You think you've done it. Well, all you've really done is made a little room at the inn, so to speak.
What are you talking about? Said Genevieve.
Oh, I think you're going to see in just a moment. Bunce out!
Genevieve looked at her friends, but no one seemed to understand what Bunce had meant. Okay, so he knows we're here. That's fine, said Genevieve. We're just going to have to speed up phase two of our plan. Lancebot and Cloco, back to the robot room and see how many robots you can get working. Olivia and I are going to the library. Voltronics, go smash something.
Actually, Madame Genevieve,
said Lancebot,
it appears Bunce has already moved on to phase two of his plan.
Lancebot pointed out a window, and approaching the Marlowe was an explorer pod. It looked just like the Marlowe's explorer pods, but it was in terrible shape, dented, scratched, burned on the outside. The windows were so dirty it was impossible to see who was inside of it. What is that? Said Genevieve. Who is that? The pod approached quickly and docked in one of the bays.
I think this might be the time for us to run, Genevieve,
said Cloco. No way, said Genevieve. I want to see who comes out of there, and I want to stop them. The pod bay doors opened, and a giant shadow came over the hallway. Oh, no, said Genevieve. That's impossible.
Now do you think it's time to run?
Said Cloco.
I'll eat you up, I love you so,
said the wild thing as it lurched off the pod. Okay, I am here with my son and my editor, Griffin Messenger. Say hi to everybody, Griff.
Hi, hi, hello.
So, Griff, what did you think of that episode?
We did my idea.
Well, that's your idea is a spoiler. We can't quite say what your idea was yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But did you like the episode?
2,000,000% on my idea part.
Okay, so your idea part is actually the very last moment of the episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we should talk a little bit about what happened here, because how did the wild things come back to the Marlowe? The last time we saw the wild things, they were on the planet with the moths, right? And Bunce.
Yeah.
And Bunce took off without them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this time, now that explorer pod of Bunce's that was all dented and scratched and had a little worse for the wear is returning to the Marlowe, or as he calls it, the Bunce. And it's got the wild things on it, or at least one wild thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that happened.
Yeah. We'll share my idea on the next episode of Spoiler Club.
Well, your idea will actually come up in the next episode of the Finn Club.
Actually, my idea is going to be Character Club.
Yeah, we'll do Character Club a week from Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have the next episode of Finn Caspian and then the first episode of Character Club a week from Friday. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, so this is what, you know, it's one thing to say about this season. This season is really bringing a lot of characters back from season one. Maybe some characters back from season two. We don't know yet. And I just want to say, you know, we got a lot of interest in the puzzles and riddles that we've had in past episodes. There is a massive, massive puzzle.
Ooh.
All right, so should we get into art?
Jokes.
All right. It's joke time.
Art time.
And this week's jokes come from Annika, who's almost five. Annika, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Annika. I'm almost five. And here's my joke. Why did the cow cross the moon? Because it wanted to go to the moony fields.
All right. And then, of course, we have our old friend, 11-year-old Renata from Perth, Australia. Take it away, Renata.
Why do meteors always take cold showers when they get home?
I don't know. Why?
Because they always burn up on entry.
That's great. All right. Thank you so much. Those were awesome jokes. Next up is
art.
That's right. Art time. Okay. So for our artists this week, we have Isla, who's four, Karina, who's seven, and Isabella, who's 11 from Carlsbad, California, Josephine from Guildford, England, Sam from Birmingham, England, Stephen Arnold, who's 10, brothers Max, who's 8, and Griffin, who is 6, Andrew and Haley from McAllen, Texas, Elliot, who's 7, and Lillian, who's 9, from Washington State, Tuesday from Salem, Oregon, Evan, who's 6, from Germany, Ezra from Sacramento, California, Rocco, who's 7.5, from Austin, Texas, and shout out to Rocco's sister Maggie, Liam, who's 8, from Plymouth, Minnesota, Bryland from Alberta, Canada, Ashton from Alberta, Canada, Noah, who's 6, from Holman, Wisconsin, Isaiah, who is 8, from Harlem, New York, who made us a very cool comic. Thank you all so, so much. All right, thank you all so, so much for sending Bebop all of that art for him to munch on. We really, really appreciate it. Next week, we will have the return of the Wild Things and the beginning of Character Club. It's a big week next week. Are you excited, Griffin?
Yes!
I believe you. That sounded like an excited yes. All right, you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Bye, bye, bye.
All right, bye, 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 everybody. All right, I want to say thank you all so, so much for coming back and having more fun with us this week. Thank you for sending in your art, your jokes, your ideas. Character Club is coming up next week. If you have ideas for characters you would like to see on the show, send them in, and Griffin and I will chat about them next week and maybe try to figure out a way to put them into the show. The Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian is a Gen Z Kids production, written and produced by Jonathan Messenger, edited and guided by Griffin Messenger, with special thanks to Maria Villanueva. Emerson Messenger is our intern. The music you hear at the beginning and end of every show is by Mark Greenberg, recently voted the nicest human in the multiverse. Our cover art is by Sir Ian Dingman. All of the art that you see on our Facebook or Instagram page is by our amazing listeners. And for any more information about the show, check out the show notes or go to finncaspian.com. Thanks again for coming back this week, and we will see you next week.
Bebop Tales, Bebop Tales, transforming into a human with 14 tails. Bebop Tales, Bebop Tales, Bebop Tales.
Are you a fan of cryptids like Bigfoot? Do you like ancient monsters like the Kraken? Are you ready to face the scariest creature of all? The unicorn? Welcome to The Weirdness, an exciting journey into the weird and unexpected. Join Arlo and Sierra as they host a podcast called The Weirdness, dedicated to exploring the unexplained and weird phenomena, like the Loch Ness Monster, the Yeti, the Chupacabra, and more. Unfortunately, they've never actually witnessed any of this weirdness until they tracked down Bigfoot himself. Turns out, the weirdness is real. And it's everywhere. Now, Arlo, Sierra, and Bigfoot, whose nickname is Beef, set off on a mind-blowing road trip adventure across the globe to find out why the creatures of legends are disappearing and solve the mystery of the creep. Listen to every episode of The Weirdness now on Apple Podcasts or on gzmshows.com. Binge every episode and find every ridiculous creature of legend before they disappear. Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 Minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual. And best of all, you can turn on captions. And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM Shows on YouTube.